My guest is lawyer and novelist Scott Turow. His first novel is the new bestseller Presumed Innocent. It's receiving a lot of attention for two reasons: the book and movie bidding wars it provoked, and the praise Turow's writing has received from book critics. Turow was an assistant U.S. attorney in Chicago for 8 years before he joined a high-powered firm where he now defends white-collar criminals. Presumed Innocent is the story of Rusty Sabich, a big-city deputy prosecuting attorney who, in the middle of investigating the murder of his colleague, a former lover, finds himself on trial accused of the crime. The novel opens with Sabich, the prosecutor, wondering how it would feel if the tables were turned and he was the defendant. I asked Scott Turow to read that passage.
In the beginning, I was often preoccupied, imagining how it would feel to sit there, held at the focus of scrutiny, ardently denounced before all who cared to listen, knowing that the most ordinary privileges of a decent life, common trust, personal respect, and even liberty, were now like some cloak you had checked at the door and might never retrieve. I could feel the fear, the hot frustration, the haunted separateness. Now, like ore deposits, the harder stuff of duty and obligation is settled in the veins where those softer feelings moved. I have a job to do. It is not that I have grown uncaring. Believe me.
Does a prosecuting attorney have to stop identifying with the defendants who are on trial and distance himself from them?
Actually, Terry, for me, as a prosecuting attorney, the process was almost the reverse. I started out not identifying with the defendants, horrified by their conduct, and only over a number of years did I begin to sit back and recognize that the people I was prosecuting were not a lot different than anybody else, and began to think a lot about the connection between those who did things that were evil and those who prosecuted them.
Do you think the legal system looks different to someone standing trial than it does to the lawyers who are arguing the case?
I think without doubt it looks a lot different to the person standing trial. And I must say that to the credit of many judges before whom I appeared, they always seemed to bear that in mind. They were most concerned with how the system would appear to those who were feeling its harshest lashes. And there is no doubt that when you are at the focus of scrutiny, to quote myself, that everything takes on an extraordinary meaning and probably strangeness.
Is your legal writing anything like your fiction? I haven't read a lot of legal briefs, and I don't know if they're traditionally dry or very descriptive.
Legal writing is generally very dry, and indeed, most of my colleagues, wherever it is that I found myself practicing over the years, have a tendency to kind of tone me down. There's really a limited lexicon that the lawyer can reach for. Emotion is not supposed to be part of the lawyer's armory, and you are supposed to be appealing to reason. Of course, legal decision-making, like all other decision-making in life, takes people through their feeling states as well, but the approach to that is much more guarded and much more subtle. And so legal writing, I think, has got a sleep-inducing character to most people who are not lawyers.
Do you think of yourself as good when it comes time to making final arguments before the jury?
Yeah, that of course is the most emotional vocabulary that lawyers are permitted, and whatever it is to swing incense at oneself in terms of legal abilities, I tended to think I was better at that than a lot of other legal skills.
You were writing fiction before you went to law school, the way I understand it. Why did you go to law school instead of just turning to writing?
Well, it sounds peculiar for me, with a book that has done as well as Presumed Innocent has, to say this, but I do mean it. I don't think anybody in his or her right mind can count on making a living as a writer of fiction. And for me, therefore, the question was, what was I going to do with my life besides write fiction? And I was teaching English at Stanford at the time. I was not, for whatever reason, terribly happy with that. And so the options were, do you want to go into the ad business? Do you want to go to Hollywood and try to get a studio job. I thought, found most of my friends were lawyers. I was interested in what they were doing. I was interested in the issues with which they seemed to deal every day. And so I made what was to most of my colleagues in the English department a breathtaking and probably incomprehensible decision to go to law school.
There were incredible bidding wars over your novel. You got a $200,000 advance from the publisher. There was a $1 million purchase of the film rights of your novel. I know you didn't expect that. What kind of feeling has it left you with? Has it made you more secure or more insecure?
I think that, one can be very philosophical about money. I have three kids, and I believe that our lifestyle is not a lot different today than it was last October when all of this began. But obviously, it gives you the option to look at your life in slightly different terms. Nothing seems quite as imperative. Certainly I don't stay up nights anymore worrying about what happens if I lose my job. But I think that in some ways, money is very important at a certain level in this society. And that, when you're an attorney, the fact of the matter is you're making a living. And you're lucky enough to be living comfortably. And one of the things that's interesting to me about sudden wealth is that I realize how comfortable our lifestyle was already as compared to people who are really poor.
Why do you think there's such an interest in courtroom dramas from Perry Mason to The People's Court to Jagged Edge? I'm not putting your book in the category of that, but there is this long-term fascination with courtroom drama.
Well, it's one of the few places in a society where things get cleanly decided. Questions of right and wrong, who's right, you don't get those kinds of decisions in life very often. And so it's just like sports. People don't usually win or lose as cleanly. And for that reason, that drama attracts us all.
Without giving away the end of the book, I think that the who's right and who's wrong and the kind of hard line of morality is really blurred when your book ends.
I think that's true, and that obviously is a reflection of my experience. And I frankly consider that moral complexity to be one of the things in the book that I personally am proudest of.
Are you going to stay in law now that you don't have to do it to make a living?
I think so, Terry. I'm pretty much committed to doing that. I am extremely fond of the people with whom I practice, which is, I must admit, one of the great attractions of continuing. But I also like being a lawyer.
How is all the attention that you're getting going to affect your ability to argue a case? Because you might become very well known in the next few months.
I think if I was a rock star or a movie star, it might matter more. It depends. Obviously, the judiciary is made up of people who read and who are cognizant of the success of presumed innocent. I had a funny experience last week. I was in court, and I finished a status call. I was arguing a little motion. And as I stepped away from the podium, the judge congratulated me on the success of the book and asked me why I was still practicing. And obviously, I'm going to be a little bit more of a curiosity, but I really am not worried about facing a panel of jurors who are well acquainted with who I am, because I think that, for better or for worse, that probably overstates the importance of literature in the United States at the moment.
But would you have to disqualify any jurors who had read your novel?
Well, that would be up to the judge. I think that is an interesting prospect. I had that happen once. While I was an assistant U.S. attorney, I had a juror who acknowledged having read 1L, my first book, and the juror was seated, and the juror stayed on the case, and the only thing afterwards was that when after the case was over and we had won, the juror did want me to sign his copy of my book, but that was it.
Scott Turow, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Terry, thank you very much for letting me do that.
Scott Turow is the author of Presumed Innocent.